really let us in. We're glad that you're here. Glad that you're able to be a part of this safely. I want to talk to you about something today. You know, some people have the idea that when they do something, if they do it long enough, or if they thought it up, it must be all right. And that's the thinking that some people have today, that whatever they do, as long as it feels good, there used to be an expression, if it feels good, do it. And the idea was there, if it feels good, it must be all right. Must not be anything wrong with it. But that concept, while it may be true in some areas, is not always true, even in the physical realm, and it's certainly not true when we think about the spiritual realm. There is a way that seems right unto a man. The wise man said in the book of Proverbs, there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So just because it feels good, just because it seems right, does not necessarily make it right in the realm of religion. But because people kind of have that kind of a thought in the physical sphere, they translate that or transpose it over into the spiritual sphere, and therefore in religion a lot of times people do things because it feels good to do it. Makes them feel good. It gives them pleasure. And that's the reason they do it. But that is not the case in the spiritual realm. In the spiritual realm, wrong is always wrong. When you look at the Bible, when somebody does something wrong, it's wrong. God looks upon it as being wrong. Sometimes He uses the word evil instead of wrong. But wrong is always wrong. In Matthew the 7th chapter, verses 13 and 14, Jesus Christ is speaking, and He said to those who would follow Him, "Enter in by the narrow gate." He said, "For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction." So there is a way that leads to destruction. Not every way is right. Some ways are wrong. Some ways are evil. Some ways will lead you to destruction. And He said, "There are many that go by it." That is, they thought this was the right way. "I verily thought within myself," Paul said, "that I ought to do things, many, many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth." Paul thought that was the right way to do it, but it was the wrong way. And he found that out later. Jesus went ahead to say in verse 14 of Matthew 7, He said, "Because narrow is the gate, difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." So there's a wrong way, and the broad way is the way most people go, because it's the easy way to go. The narrow way has an extremely narrow gate, and that's the difficult way, and there are few people that are willing to do that, go in the right way. Do that which is good in the sight of the Lord. Paul, speaking the words of Jesus Christ, talk about the works of God. Jesus Himself talk about the good works of God. He said, "We work the works of Him that sent me while it is day, because the night comes when no man can work." There are good works and there are bad works. There are good things and evil things. There are good things and wrong things. And as I've got on the screen here, wrong is always wrong. It's always wrong. Even if a person doesn't get caught, it's always wrong. Sometimes people don't get caught, and because they don't get caught, well, must be all right for me to do this, because I didn't get caught. But in Proverbs 15, verse 3, the wise man said, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place." He's looking all the time if he wants to. They're in every place, and he keeps watch on the evil and the good, the wrong and the good. That's what he does. He keeps watch on that. The Hebrew writer says, "The Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing even dividing of soul and spirit, and quick to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart." That the Word of God is like a sword, and it is able to distinguish the thoughts and intents of the heart. God knows those things. So wrong is always wrong, even if we don't get caught. That is, if nobody tells us it's wrong, or there's no consequence in this life to its wrong, because the Lord is watching. He keeps watching what's wrong and what's right, what's evil and what's good. So we need to be careful about thinking that just because the Lord hadn't said anything about it, or He hasn't said you can't do that He doesn't realize what a person is doing and doesn't think about it is wrong. So wrong is always wrong, even if one does not get caught. Even if he doesn't get caught in that. But also, wrong is always wrong, even if it's done for a good cause. Sometimes people say, well, it's such a good cause, I can't see anything wrong with it. Well, in the first place, people have decided it's a good cause. God hasn't. And while it may be true, it may do some things for the human being that wouldn't otherwise be done. And it might be good in that sense, the way society looks at it. But this is the idea that people have. Because it's a good cause, because we're doing it for something good, there couldn't be anything wrong with it. But let me tell you something. Wrong is always wrong, even if it's done for a good cause. In Romans 3 and verse 8, the Apostle Paul was right. He said, why not say, let us do evil that good may come? He said, some people accuse him of that. We're slanderously reported as some would affirm that this is what we say. Let us do evil that good may come. So if it's for a good cause, it's all right if it's wrong. Excuse me. That's what some people were saying that Paul taught, but he didn't teach that. And he said, those who say that, their condemnation is just. In other words, they're going to be condemned for that, for saying, just because it's a good cause, it must be all right. When you think about that, some people are saying, let us do evil that good will come. The more evil we do, the more good will come out of it, is the idea. No, it's always wrong. Evil is always wrong. Always has been, always will be. In 1 John 3 and verse 4, John put it like this, whosoever commits sin commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. So the one who does wrong is sinning. And if he continues to do wrong, James said the wages of sin is death. Well, Paul said that. James said the end result of sin is death. So the wages of sin is death, the end result of a life of sin. Someone who's always got a cause, but it's the wrong cause. That is, he's doing it, he thinks it's all right, he's doing it for a good cause, but it's wrong, it's evil, it's not good. God looks on it that way, and it is lawlessness. He's without the law of Almighty God. In 1 John 5 and verse 17, John put it like this, all unrighteousness is sin. And he said there's a sin that doesn't lead to death, but this one does. All unrighteousness is sin, even if it's for a good cause. If it's unrighteous, it leads to sin. And again, the wages of sin, the end result of that kind of a life, that kind of an action, is death, spiritual death. So folks, it's absolutely just not true that even if one does it for a good cause, it's not wrong. Wrong is always wrong, even if one does it for a good cause. Well, not only is that so, but even if he does it in such a way that it doesn't bother his conscience. Evil men wax worse and worse, deceiving, being deceived. It doesn't bother their conscience. They deceive others. They deceive themselves into thinking it's all right to do this. And their conscience doesn't bother them at all. Again, I'll point out to you something Paul said. Paul, looking earnestly into the council, the Jewish council that was questioning him about the kind of life that he was living and preaching the gospel, he said, men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience till this day. I never violated my conscience, he said. I never did do that. But in 1 Timothy 1, in verse 13, he said, I was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. Howbeit, I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. There was a time when I was a blasphemer, but I thought that was the way to live. So wrong is always wrong, even if it doesn't bother the conscience. The conscience is something that is trained. It's trained. All the conscience does is tell us whether or not we're living according to the values we have been taught at the time. And our values may change. And the reason that Paul was able to say, I've lived in all good conscience, because his values, what he'd been taught was he was supposed to persecute Christians. That's what he thought. So he was living according to what his conscience said. Conscience said, Paul, you're doing what you've been taught to do. You've got the letters from the high priest to cast all who are the way into prison. And that's the right thing to do. But it was the wrong thing to do. As he did this, he was literally blaspheming the Lord, denying that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. As he did this, he was a persecutor. He was persecuting men and women who were children of God. He wanted to cast all of them into prison. He was an insolent man. He was the one who was going to disturb others, break up families if necessary. He was breathing threatening slaughter against the church. He even says that, or Luke records that's what he was doing. But he thought that was right.
So it isn't true, folks. It isn't true that even if it does not bother the conscience, that it must be right. Wrong is always wrong. Even if it doesn't bother, it was wrong for Paul to do what he did. Even though he thought it was right. Even though the conscience said, Paul, you're doing what your nature is. You're doing what you've been taught, what your values are. And yet it was Jesus Christ, when he was on the road to Damascus so he could cast some of those people into prison and scourge them and harm them and put them to death. While he was on the road, the Lord appeared to him and said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Paul didn't know that he was persecuting Christ at the time. He didn't realize that. He was following his conscience. That's what he was doing, what his values were. And that's why he could say, I've lived in all good conscience. In other words, what Paul's saying, I never violated my conscience. I always have done what my values were at the time. But his values changed, didn't they? Because he asked the Lord while he was on that road, said, what would you have me to do? And the Lord told him to go to Damascus, and there it would be signified unto him everything he had to do. And while he was in Damascus, a prophet came to him and said, arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. He was to call on the name of the Lord that he had been persecuting. So his values changed. Therefore, he was able to say, even when I was persecuting, I thought this was the way I ought to live. So he had a good conscience. It never did hurt him. That doesn't mean that he didn't recognize he did something wrong, wished he hadn't done it. But it means that he never violated his conscience. He never did do that because he always followed what he thought was right. But because we always follow what we think is right does not necessarily mean it's right if it's not what the Lord teaches, if it's not what He has said about things. So even though it doesn't bother our conscience, does not mean, folks, that what we're doing is right. And wrong is always wrong, even if it doesn't bother us. If it's wrong to start with, it's wrong today. If it was wrong yesterday in the sight of the Lord, it's going to be wrong tomorrow. And the reason I say that is because the Lord doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, yea, and forever. He's always expected His people to do what He tells them to do. And so even though a person might not follow his conscience, or may follow his conscience, he could still be wrong. In Galatians 6 and verse 7, the Apostle Paul said, do not be deceived. You cannot mock God. God is not mocked, he said. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Well, he might be sowing something, thinking it's the right thing, but he's going to reap from it. What did Paul reap? Well, he reaped the fact that he had murdered some people, breathing threatening slaughter against the church. He realized he had done all that thing. Brethren had a hard time accepting him because of what he did. But I know it bothered him because he said, I was this kind of a person. Howbeit I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. That is, he really did not believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. There was unbelief of Jesus Christ being the Son of God. And what he was doing when he persecuted, he thought he was doing right. So my point again is, just because a person thinks he's following his conscience because his conscience doesn't hurt him for what he's doing, does not necessarily mean that his values are right. What he's got to do is make sure that his values are what they ought to be in the spiritual realm. His values must be the same as the values of Almighty God. He wants to walk in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. And that's what the Apostle Peter said, we should walk in His steps. That's what he wants to do. As Paul said, be followers of me as I also am of Christ. Needs to be a follower of Christ. If he's a follower of Christ, then his conscience has to do with that kind of a value. And he knows he's not violating his conscience because this time he's following the Lord. But he didn't violate it before if he thought that was the right thing to do. Now sometimes even in the physical sphere, people who are not religious violate their conscience. Because they know this is not the right thing to do. They've been taught better than that. And they go against their conscience. They do it long enough, they'll sear their conscience. They won't work anymore. It won't make them feel hurt or guilty for what they do. But just because a person doesn't violate his conscience does not mean that his values are right. So he has to determine, are my values based upon what the Lord teaches, or are they based upon something I've heard in the past that not taught by the Lord? So wrong is always wrong, even if your conscience doesn't tell you it is. It's always wrong. Now, I'm not saying that you can't do right and your conscience will tell you you're doing right. But I'm telling you that wrong will always be wrong. And wrong will always be wrong also if others do worse things. Sometimes people say, well, I'm not as bad as they are. I certainly didn't do that. I've never murdered anybody. We read a passage in our Bible today in Romans, the 2nd chapter. You remember that passage? Where the Apostle Paul was speaking to those Jews and talking to them about what they had done. And he talked to them about the kind of life that they were living. He talked about the fact that they had done certain things. He said, you who teach another, do you not teach yourself? That's verse 20, 21 of Romans 2. We read that together today, didn't we? If you look in your Bible, he still says that you who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? You who say, do not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who make your boast in the law, do you dishonor God through breaking the law? In other words, even though you keep all the law and yet stumble in one point, you become guilty of all. That's what James said. You can stumble in one point and you become guilty of all. You rob a bank, and I'll tell you, when you're arrested for that, you go to trial, the whole law, the whole apparatus of law comes against you in that. It's as if you broke all the laws. As far as the trial is concerned, maybe you say, well, I robbed the bank, all right, and I got several $100,000 out of the bank, but I've not robbed anybody else, and I certainly haven't killed anybody else. I haven't run over anybody with my car, so you ought not to do anything about it. That's kind of the concept that sometimes people might have. But even if others do worse wrongs, I mean, I didn't ever murder anybody. I hear people say that sometimes. Well, I didn't murder anybody. But I've done all these things that are wrong. And the Bible is very clear about that. Whosoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ has not God. The doctrine here means teaching in 2 John verse 9. Whosoever abides not in the teaching of Christ has not God. You violate the teaching of Christ in one thing, and it's like you don't have God anymore. You violate the teaching of God, and therefore you don't have Him. It's interesting, he says, he does not have God if he does this. Then he goes ahead and says, he who abides in the teaching or doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. So if we abide in the teaching, and that means we can't argue, well, what I've done is not as bad as others. But wrong is always wrong, even if others do worse things. Even if they robbed a bank and you never did, you just lied. You see? And you violate the teaching of Christ with regard to the lying. All liars shall have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. That's what the Revelation writer said. So if you violate that, it's just as bad as if you did something else. You cannot exercise freedom from the law of God because you say, I'm not as bad as somebody else. You can't do that. Wrong is always wrong. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, the reason we make sure that we're going to do what's right, we're going to stand before the bar of Christ, the judgment seat of Christ. Everyone's going to be. Paul said we must all appear before that judgment bar of Jesus Christ. And what's going to happen there? Each one will receive the things done in the body according to what he's done, whether it be good or bad. What's going to happen? There we're going to receive what we've done in life, whether it's wrong or right, good or bad. You see? That's what's going to happen. We're going to be judged by the things we've done in the body, whether they be good or bad. So we can't say this person has done worse things. If we've done bad things, we've done bad things. That's the way it is. That's the way God looks at it. In John 5, verses 28 and 29, Jesus Christ taught what was going to happen to people who did righteousness and people who did wrong. People who did good in the sight of God, but people who did bad in the sight of God. He said, do not marvel at this. Don't be shaken by this. Don't be surprised by this, what we'd say today. For the hour is coming when all who are in the tombs or graves will hear His voice, and they'll all come forth, He says. Well, what's going to happen? Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, those who have done evil or wrong to the resurrection of condemnation. The newer translation says those that have done good will rise to live. Those that have done evil will rise to be condemned. So there's going to be a resurrection. Everybody's going to be raised. Some people are going to be raised to life eternal life with Jesus and God Almighty in heaven. Some people are going to be sent to a devil's burning hell. That's the condemnation. That's kind of the idea of Jesus in Matthew 25 when he talks about people being separated one from another as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, some on the left hand, some on the right. To those on the left hand, he's going to say, "Depart from me, cursed, into the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." To those on his right hand, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." So wrong is always wrong, even if others do worse things. It's always wrong. It always will be wrong in the sight of God. But wrong is always wrong also if it's considered by some individuals to be socially acceptable. It's still wrong, even if we consider it to be socially acceptable, even if society says it's all right. It's interesting to look at society when you look at history, even the history of our country. And you see how the morals have changed over a period, or the thinking about morals has changed over the history of our country. The thinking of 40 or 50 years ago, maybe 100 years ago, and then 50 years ago, and then even 20 years ago, and how it changed 10 years ago on some things. And it's continued to change today. Like some of our politicians who were very strong about certain things a few years ago, and now they've apologized for that. And now they're saying they don't believe that anymore, that principle. Well, if they were wrong about the principle to start with, they need to change. I understand that. But the fact of the matter is, because it's socially acceptable today, people want to be in that. The politicians want to be socially acceptable. They can't get elected if they're not acceptable. So they have a tendency to change their thinking, even about morals sometimes. In Exodus 23 and verse 2, way back in the Old Testament, God speaking through Moses said, "You shall not follow a crowd to do evil." You can't follow. Don't do that, he said. Don't follow a crowd to do what's wrong. "Nor shall you testify in dispute so as to turn aside after many to pervert justice." Don't do this. Don't do what's wrong, he said. Don't follow the crowd. Folks, it was the crowd that cried out, "Crucifying, crucifying," of Jesus. That was the crowd. And I know that they were the ones that did that because on the day of Pentecost when Peter preaches to them and the other apostles, they said with regard to that, after they've been told they crucified the Son of God, they're told, "Men and brethren, what must we do?" They're pricked in the heart. They cried out, "Crucifying, crucifying, you will not follow a crowd to do evil." Saul did that, but later on, the one that's called the Apostle Paul. He stood aside and held the coats of those that stoned Stephen to death. That's why he's referred to as breathing threatening and slaughter against the church. Because he was directly responsible, even though he didn't throw a rock, he was directly responsible because he held the coats of those that did, and he acquiesced in his death. So don't follow a multitude just because it's socially acceptable. Because the world says it's okay. We must remember that John said the world is not our home. We're just passing through, as the song says. This world is not our home. And he said that by saying, "Love not the world, neither the things that are of the world. For all that is of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the vainglory of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that does the will of God abides forever." So wrong is always wrong. But we always want to abide in the will of God. We want to do what's right and good. And even though the world says this is good, it's not good if God doesn't consider it to be good. In Proverbs 4 and verse 14, the wise man said, "Do not enter the path of the wicked." He's speaking to his son here. "Do not enter the path of the wicked and do not walk in the way of wrong or evil." Don't walk in the way of wrong. Don't walk in the way of the wicked. Everybody might be wicked, and if everybody's wicked, they'll say, "Well, everybody's doing it." Don't walk in the path of the wicked. Don't walk in the way of that which is wrong, he told his son. In 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 and 10, the Apostle Paul put it like this, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God?" Don't be deceived about that. Don't let people deceive you that because everybody else is living this way, or the world is this way, it's all right to do that. Because some dignitary or somebody says it's all right. If God said it's not right. Neither fornicators, now listen to this closely. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Folks, people say that it was just a different lifestyle. Well, that'd be true about the fornicator, wouldn't it? That's said about homosexuality. And they try to make it more palatable for talking about it being gay. But the fact of the matter is, God said it's wrong. And God says that that person who practices that will not inherit the kingdom of God. It's not a matter of whether you hate somebody that's a homosexual. The point is, you love them so much, you want them to go to heaven when they die. So you tell them you can't do this wrong. Well, society doesn't say it's wrong. In fact, we celebrate as a society, don't we? In the month of June, we have what we call the Pride Parades. And they fly the flags, and you can go to a store sometime and they'll have it on there. We proudly support pride. And what that is homosexuality, folks. That's what they're doing. So society supports it. Society's great about it. Society wants to. Society laughs about it. Society supports it. Makes clothes for it. I saw the other day where one of the major clothing concerns in our nation is making shirts that you can buy that talk about pride and all of that. Homosexuality. It's accepted today. You can't watch a television program anymore without having somebody in there. Even the cartoons today, I read the other day, one cartoon is going to have two bears that are homosexual and they're going to get married. That's what's happening today, folks, in our society. Society says all that's right. Society says fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, homosexuals, sodomites. See, we don't accept sodomites yet, do we? Wonder why we don't. I mean, after all, they're just made that way. They can't help it. God made them that way. That's the argument that's made about homosexuality and everything. Here's a man that likes other women besides his wife. Well, God made me that way. He made women pretty. He made me want to love them. It's like the woman the preacher was talking to one time in a congregation, trying to get her to understand you can't keep having affairs with everybody. She told the preacher, said, well, the Bible says love the brotherhood, and I love several of them. That's what she said. Well, that's the argument that's made. God made me that way. Know what God said? If you do that, you can't inherit my kingdom. You can't come and live with me. That's what God said. So even though it's socially acceptable, folks, it's wrong in the sight of God. Wrong is always wrong. Well, how do we determine that? How do we determine if it's wrong? In 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 21 and 22, the Apostle Paul said, test all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil. That's what we do. We test it. What is the testing that we use? What avenue do we use? What course do we use? What criterion do we use to test something? Well, we test it. We put it in a test tube sometime and we test it to see whether or not it's really what it ought to be. And the test tube is the Word of God. We put it in the Word of God. Does the Word of God say this? What does the Word of God say? If you do all these things, you'll not inherit the kingdom of God. So that's the test. In Proverbs 4, verses 4 and 5, the wise man said, he also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words. That's the test. Retain the words of the Lord. Keep my commands and live, he said. Give wisdom. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget. Don't turn away from the words of my mouth. That's the test. Test it by the Word of God. That's the thing. Because wrong, folks, wrong is always wrong. What a Christian does about wrong is that he tests it. That's what he does. Because wrong is always wrong. Let me see. Get this down here. That's what he does. Wrong is always wrong. For some reason it switched on me, but that's okay. Wrong is always wrong and always will be wrong. So let's make certain we're not wrong when we meet the Lord in the day of judgment. Let's make certain that we're right. The Apostle Paul, when he was writing to the Philippians on one occasion, says, it's right for me to think this of you. There's a right way to think, folks, and there's a wrong way to think in the spiritual realm. A right way to think. There's a wrong way to think. And even though people don't want to acknowledge what's wrong, if you refuse to pay your taxes and say, well, I thought it was all right for me not to pay them, I think you'll find out that whoever's deciding that, whoever's checking on that, will tell you you were wrong about that. Just because you think it's right does not make it right. It's always been wrong because the Lord said you render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar. It's always been wrong not to pay our taxes, folks. It's not going to change because we think it's right not to. Not going to change. Now, if we don't like the amount we have to pay, we can talk to them about that. We can send words to our Congress, to our President and so on, and they can change some things about that. They can decide you can have more deductions or less deductions in the law. And we can follow the law. But still, Jesus said, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. That doesn't change. So wrong is always wrong. But how about, let's not think about that right now. Let's think about doing right, okay, for the rest of this. Let's think about letting the Lord have His way with us and do what He tells us to do. And that's what the song's all about, number 343. Let's think about the fact that His power can make us what we ought to be. And His blood can cleanse our heart and make us free. And His love can fill our soul and we'll be able to see that it was best for Him to have His way with us. Let's think about that. As we recognize, Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. We believe that. We're going to do that. As a penitent believer, we're going to confess our faith in Christ. We're going to be baptized into Him so we can rise to walk in newness of life. The new life is doing as the Lord says, not the old man with his doing, but the new man who is created after righteousness and holiness of truth. In other words, he walks in purity. So let's do that.